And so we get this oddity. We get a different view of behavior. We get an entirely different view of behavior. From where we sit. But there is no difference of view of behavior from where the public sits on the same person. What an oddity. Why? What happens? What's the difference? What's the change? What's altered this? Because, let's say, the Scientologist case hasn't changed that much. And that's what's peculiar. Taught somebody to do tone 40 control. He couldn't talk. He was trying to audit. And he'd say, we got a hold of him. He'd been through dummy auditing. We ran him into the next step up from dummy auditing. We ran him into the next step up from that. We ran him into the next step up from that. And then we ran him into the final step. We got him to do tone 40 control. Didn't take very many hours. Relatively few hours. In the auditing room, all of a sudden, this fellow who couldn't talk would say, look at the wall. Good. Walk over to it. Good. Put your hand on it. Good. And outside of the auditing room, he said, I'm doing a pretty good job. How weird. Now I understand something new has occurred. He's found out that people are manageable in the society, and he stopped stammering outside too. In other words, where we could with security establish a zone of control for this individual, his ability to communicate was up. And everywhere that there was a zone of control for this individual, we found his communication good. What's the difference between a good speaker and a bad speaker? Actually, a good speaker can control an audience and a bad speaker cannot. And where does this show up? Well, in personal efficiency, when they use a process on a group known as agreement, the instructor has to go into communication with various individuals inside the group. And this gives the group the aspect of going out of control. And you have a fellow who is not very good at speaking, and he looks at a group and starts to drive them out of control, and what happens? He says, his communication freezes, and he backs right off the rostrum. He doesn't want to do that. So you have to take somebody and use a club on him. If he has trouble speaking to groups, you have to use a club on him to get him to use this agreement process which permits parts of the group to participate. He isn't just auditing the whole group one at a time, wholly, you know, just as one thing, wholly. See, he's having to pick out people and talk to them individually in the group, and this is very upsetting to an auditor who has difficulty controlling a group. But if we raise his control ability over a group, and if we drive him through and we make him one way or the other, use this agreement process whereby he has to ask various parts of the group to define things for him and do things and create more or less a confusion, what do we find out? All of a sudden the fellow can relax, he can talk to a group. In other words, where control is possible, communication is possible. But you cannot communicate before attention is established. And the establishment of the attention requires control. You see that?
Yes.
Now, just because control has been so misused, just because it has been so abused, just because there has been Torquemada in his auto-da-fés, just because the cops down here think they have to throw you into a little wired cage in order to get you not to cross the white lines backwards or something, you know, just because there is so much duress and punishment used in the world at large and associated with control, just because most parents who have a bad family cannot control their children and therefore try obsessively to control them, this word control has certain connotations connected with it which tell us that it is itself aberration. But the only aberrative part of control is bad control. And what is bad control? Punishment, duress, abuse, low-tone communication, giving a person an order, and then before he can complete that, giving him something else to do, and before he can do that, giving him something else to do, and then telling him he's all wrong about the whole thing. These are, quote, control. Well, it's a difficult thing even to dignify the word control with all of those malpractices, but the world at large has managed to do so, and so has fallen away from control, and they no longer think that control is important, and the only thing that's wrong with the United States of America today, it thinks control is so unimportant that it is becoming internally an uncontrolled country. Therefore, it is seeking control, and sooner or later may very well move into the field of fascism. Do you see that? You take a family where a good control is used on children, not a whole bunch of punishment and so on, which is good and positive, and you'll find the family is running pretty well. Now, there is something else interesting here. Is this thing called self-determinism and pan-determinism. We have found that there is something stands as a barrier between the ability of a person to be self-determined and the condition he is in, and that is willingness to be controlled. As long as a person will resist control, then everything that comes along which threatens to control him can do so, and thus you have aberration. And until he has a total tolerance of control, he cannot be self-determined or pan-determined. He cannot determine or have a power of choice, since every time he makes up his mind about one thing, anything comes along, make up his mind the other way, he's resisting control, so he has to make up his mind some other way. Where's this self-determinism? Where is this mind he's making up? Where is this power of choice? We have been charitable. We have been very charitable. We have said that tone was composed of body plus Thetan, just to get technical on you. What Thetan? How much Thetan? How much spirit was present? How much beingness was actually there? Well, I'm afraid it was just enough in most cases to energize the circuits. Silly to give it in a percentile, but it'd be something like, we've thought that there's been 10%, and it turns out to be 0.001%. Because for the first time, we can walk a Thetan right straight up the minus tone scale. Nice as you please. We've seen it happen over at the Hazy just in the last few days. I told a couple of the staff auditors, do so-and-so-and-so-and-so with this control process, and immediately they saw this phenomenon that we've been watching them. Finally, first turned into existence in the 17th ACC. They start right up to the tone scale. What's marvelous is that the minus tone scale is there to be marched up. I take much less credit for having found some way to march people up this tone scale. You see, that's not anything I'm proud of. I knew sooner or later that would happen. But to have been totally accurate in predicting this minus scale, well, it was quite... I'm still stonied, Every once in a while, somebody comes in and he says, well, you know, Ron is this and Ron is that and he's real bad and so forth. And I overhear some mutter rumble someplace or another. And I sit back and I say, well, I accurately predicted the minus tone scale. Because it was total nonsensical prediction. I didn't think we'd ever have any use for it. And eventually it occurred to me that all these people that went into apathy when they were being processed were coming upscale. That was just a short time ago. And the minus tone scale has been plotted for years and years. Well, I say, wait a minute. Can it be that in Scientology 880, the layout of the minus tone scale is accurate? That's a funny thing for me to be accurate. As a matter of fact, according to an editor of a magazine some time ago, the main thing wrong with me is I'm so damnably right. He can't ever forgive me for this. He used to be a friend of mine, but I just went on being right. He used to write me letters, and he'd say, please, Ron, admit you're wrong about something or other, you know, and I had the secretary acknowledge it or forget about it or something. And he finally broke down and he said, the man's no good, he's right. He actually wrote this as an editorial in the magazine. I got a clipping, from every third Scientologist in the world. Well, anyhow, there I was right just that once at least. And that was on that minus tone scale. The reason they don't remember a section or area of the past, as though that's important, is if they don't know or remember it, it's because it's below zero, which means below memory. A person who is below apathy cannot remember. And when a person is depressed below apathy, he can neither emote nor remember. And if he can't emote or remember, how the living consarn doggone does anyone ever come along and plot the exact steps of a minus scale in which there's no memory? I've been laughing about this because over the ACCs, they've been walking people through control processes and they go right straight from weight, height, you know, right up the scale. Protect, own, right up. And all of a sudden they get up to irresponsibility, knowing irresponsibility, and they can't walk. They can't even lug the body over to the wall. These people have been walking all around. You know, but it must have been like wind-up dolls, because when they eventually get up to a point where they can make the body walk, they look like Raggedy Ann's, you know, just rag dolls. They say, let's see, how's the body supposed to... Oh, well, it's a good thing I don't have to make it walk. And the auditor's left with the necessity of lugging him across the room. The guy's heels dragging. And then he comes up above this on the band, and all of a sudden, gee, is it good to be apathetic? He has actually achieved a level where he can appreciate apathy. It's at least an emotion. And he goes on up the rest of the tone scale. If you can see this occurring rapidly in an individual, you will understand what he has been struggling with in his workaday world. He's been trying to control things. They've been trying to control him. He just fights back. After a while, he sinks so far out of sight, so far below emotion, that he is even below not caring. He's on a negative not care, you might say. It's one thing to just not care, and it's quite another thing not to know or ever suspect what you're not caring about. And that's a lot lower on the tone scale, I think you will admit. So when we look over this parade of control factors, and when we look over the techniques of control, we must then conclude that a society is as bad off as it is running bad control. I would say that if a society had any police that, in order to control people, get them to park in the right places and do the various things, had to offer any kind of punishment of any kind, or fine, or reprimand, that society was already out of control. An army, if we can get the idea of an army existing without the purpose of uncontrolling some other country, an army would really cease to be efficient the moment that somebody got 10 days in the guardhouse for doing something. You're right away saying, well, the generals and so forth have just lost the grips on the troops. You know, squads east and west, the army does a lot of this, you know, squads east and west. Well, they do squads east and west, and if you go out and see some army doing squads east and west, and they're doing it sort of sloppy, and the rifles are this way and that way, you know, strictly out of the latest training camp. You go around and you say, what is this? Who's the sergeant that's teaching them to do this? Now, we've got a good man on that. We have Jenks. Hellfire and damnation Jenks, they calls him. One of those men gets just that much out of step into the guardhouse. Boom. No pass. Good man, this Jenks. We need more of him. Yes, fighting for the enemy. Yeah, we need lots of him over there. But we don't want him. Because that's not control. Every punishment is a confession that one's control isn't good. when you say, if you don't do so-and-so, I am going to clobber you. You're saying at the same time, you know I have some doubt as to my ability to make you do so-and-so. The cop says to you, you carry on like that and we'll throw you in the clink. He's saying the same thing to you. Do you know that the police have gotten such a pass that they can't keep law and order in the town? And it's true, they can't, you know. You know that there are people robbed and slugged and so forth? What? And you have a police force? Well, yes, but, you know, the police force catch criminals and put them in jail and then people let them out of jail. We know all kinds of correlative factors about control. We know that if we try to bang and thud and hammer people into getting in the line and put them in jail and so forth, we know we let them out of jail and they go and they rob and bash people in the head and we arrest them, we put them back in jail and we keep them there and that after a while we let them out and they go and they rob people and bash them in the head and we put them back in jail again. Don't tell me these people are in control. You know all these traffic signs that you see up and down the streets about the speed limits and that sort of thing? Do you know who they're put up there for? They're put up there for the 10% of the people that cause accidents. You know what about these 10% of the people that cause accidents? They are people who cannot be controlled. They are the people who don't read the signs. Isn't that an interesting view? In other words, all the traffic signs are up for the people who don't read the signs. What does that leave the rest of us? That leaves us operating in an atmosphere of bad control because there are few amongst us who can't be controlled. So after a while, we say control is no good. So what do? We go overboard. Next thing you know, a circuit opens up in our heads and say, nyeh, nyeh, nyeh. We say, what's that? You get the idea. Very strange business. At that moment, aberration sets in. When you yourself believe control is bad. That's the neatest thing you ever looked at. And for Scientology to walk itself up through this mirror maze and out on top of it is a considerable triumph. Because there's not a one of us in Scientology, and that means 175,000 Scientologists across the face of the world. And that's about the actual number. You don't know about many of them. They don't know about you. A lot of them don't even know where the central organizations are located or if they exist. They think the whole thing was written by Buddha. Maybe it was. But the point is, there's hardly any of us that don't stamp and damn and fume and fuss about punishment and control. That's why we're trying to do something. That's why we sort of ganged up on people. We say we just don't like to have whips cracked over our backs. We don't think man should be let in for an era of electronic slavery. We don't think that man should be let in for new wars. We just kind of privately don't think this to ourselves, and we can be covert enough about it by joining Scientology and keeping our mouths shut, or we can join Scientology and scream like hell. But we are all revolutionaries to that extent that we believe bad control is bad. We don't believe that the criminal is ever cured by being punished. We have a feeling that he can be cured by being audited, even when we haven't proven this to our own, whether we believe me or not. Even when we haven't proven it, we have some idea that if we audited a criminal, he'd snap out of it. See, we have an idea this would take place. We believe that there is a better way to straighten man out than beat him to death. And I think all of us have that to a marked degree in common. We think things could be run a little more smoothly and with just a little bit better ARC. And those of us who have tried to keep a show on the road in Scientology have occasionally not believed this. We have said, well, I don't know. Maybe we aren't tough enough in the organizations. Maybe we don't beat enough people over the head and kick enough of them downstairs. So I've made it a rule that the only people I beat in the head and kick downstairs are the people who insist on beating people in the head and kicking them downstairs. And I always kick those only in one direction. That's out the front door. because I know that we have a non-control factor going on inside the organization. Somebody has been knocking people around, sacking them, doing things to them one way or the other that were bad control factors. Well, that person we either throw out or we give them some audit. And we don't ever throw them out of Scientology. We are hung with a liability that we believe there is hope for any man. I'm sure that all of us feel this, otherwise we wouldn't be here. We feel it. Any man, any place. It's the wildest thing. Somebody will open up on a four-barrel shotgun attack on me of one kind or another from some place or another. And instead of somebody writing me and say, you know, somebody ought to shut that fellow up, I always get a half a dozen letters from auditors saying, do you think I should go over and audit him? How about my dropping in on Joe and straightening him up? Yeah, but this guy practically pulled the rug out. See, he'd done a lot of bad things. And we're going to do something for him that a lot of boys on the back track that were saints didn't even rate. In other words, we're going to save him, we're going to salvage him, we're going to make him enjoy life and put him in good shape. That's true, that's the way Scientologists look at it. Yeah, he needs some auditing. That's the panacea. Should be, it works. Don't punish him, we all say. Audit him. When we get real mad, we merely send him a bad auditor. That's the worst punishment we'll stand for. So we ourselves believe, by our expression, some truth in this. A Scientologist is one who controls environments, controls people, environments, and situations from tone 40. And that's evidently what he is. And after you've seen some more of this, I think you too will agree with us. Thank you.